tape recording is not a complete full-length recording of the original seance. Part of the seance was personal to Mrs. Crete, and only the general and interesting remarks made by Frederick Chopin have been re-recorded for replay to the public.
The seance was recorded on May the 7th, 1956, prior to appointment for Rose Crete, medium Leslie Flint.
Is he anywhere around today?
No.
He isn't?
No.
Is he here on Wednesdays then?
Sometimes.
Why is it that he doesn't come and speak to us? Mr. Marmoussin, anyway.
Well, there's a reason. But you must always know the reasons, mustn't you?
I'd like to know the reason, darling, because he teaches us to know the reason of things, you know.
Yes, but there is a very good reason. He will come when he feels inclined.
When he feels inclined? Or when he thinks he should come?
When there's something very vital or important to talk about or say. Well, you must be patient, Rosie.
It's not for me, darling. It's not
I know it's not for you, but there's a reason. And I can't tell you everything.
Well, I can only ask, and if you can't tell me, just say, no, I'm sorry, I can't tell you, that's all. It's only by asking that you can learn this
ask
stuff.
Ask and thou shalt receive.
Yes, what about it? Come on.
There are a lot of things that
Frederick.
But it is fair too, if you were to know everything, it would not be good. There are certain things that we prefer not to tell you. We like to keep you guessing sometimes.
But why, Frederick?
Well, there are very good reasons, which at the time perhaps you don't realize why, but become apparent after a time. The same as it is not always good for you to know in advance certain things. It destroys the element of surprise, and also it is not always possible for us to be sure as to whether we can do certain things that we have set our heart or mind on, and we don't like to promise and then disappoint you, you know.
That's your earthly element coming out. When you were on the earth, you were full of surprises for everybody.
Well, of course, my music is full of surprises.
Yes, I know.
My personality. I often remember, you know, when certain things I had composed, people have idea when they first play, the first few bars begin.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden something comes out of the blue, different, absolutely different, take them quite by surprise. They say, I would have thought this, the form is everything is different, I like, often I play something very sweet and very nice, get more worked up into a mood, all of a sudden, woof,
fireworks.
Yes. I never try to do the obvious. I leave that to the other composers.
He's quite right, He's quite right.
I've composed quite a number of pieces at different times, that were not up to my, my standard. I think, leave that thing, I destroy it, I don't like it, I must do that again, I work well. And then I think, the original idea was no good, discard it, and then perhaps long time later, I try again, and I build it differently.
Yes, I read about all that.
I know, a lot of things you read about me,
Yes.
Some of the things, they are so wrong.
Some of them, I suppose, are.
Some things are right, but I get great pleasure, out of argument. Sometimes I have had with people who have pretend to write my life, I think to myself, you wait till you come over here, you rascal, and I castigate them,
But do you?
Well, I have.
Who have you
castigated? I learn with years, I learn to be a little more discreet, but at times I find it difficult to hold my tongue.
The book that I'm dying to get hold of, and I can't because it's not translated, the one by Count Rudinsky.
Why can you not get it? Why can you not get it?
Well, it's written in Polish.
Well, you can get it translated.
I don't know.
You don't think? I don't know. You've got quite enough books. After all, I can tell you much more than the books.
Oh, can you? I don't believe it.
I know you. You are trying to make me say something. You think to yourself, I put him on his mettle, he said certain things, tell me things. I'm not a fool. Don't forget I have met you before.
What's that?
Don't forget I have met you before. And you have not altered all that much. In some respects, you are very much like.
Am I?
I don't think women change very much from one generation to another. I think men do, but not women.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think it is that they have too much of the...
Women are supposed to be the changeable ones,
Changeable in certain respects, but fundamentally they are very much the same today as they were 2,000 years ago and longer.
This Rudinsky's one is... the Trois Romans, your three romances.
What about them?
That's the book I want to get hold of.
Three romances. I had more than three.
You had more, but those three were your chief ones.
That's what the public thinks.
But tell me all the others, Fred.
No, I've no intention to go over my dirty past.
Do you see them over there now?
Sometimes.
You do?
But I am not living with any one person.
You're not?
No.
You're living by yourself?
No, what I mean is I am not with any woman.
Oh, I see. You can't be with any woman, can you now?
You mean no woman can be with me?
Have you tried, Frederick?
No, I don't intend to try.
You don't intend to try?
No,
but
I am very happy to be free.
To be free?
But don't misunderstand me.
No.
It is that I make the joke of everything, but what I try to convey is here.
Yes.
Thank God there is no giving and taking in marriage.
No, isn't that
we are all the least, let's say all we who are in one plan or environment in harmony.
Yes.
But there is no physical, material aspect of marriage. Here it is a marriage of mind. And the spirit, it is something so totally different. I can't explain in words, but I am so free, and yet I am, in a sense, linked with many.
You are.
And there is no pettiness, no bitterness,
no
jealousy, only love, understanding, and tolerance.
Isn't that wonderful, Frederick?
And a musician like myself can work in peace.
You can?
What do you mean? Work in peace.
Eh?
Work in peace. I am not distracted. Although often from my distraction of the earth came my best music, but that is another story. There is a vast difference between music that is composed on earth, wonderful though it may be, to that which is composed over here. Here we can see the reflection, as it were, like looking in the mirror of humanity, and we can compose or create or recreate exactly what we see and what we feel, without having to touch, in a sense, the original. Have you followed? Like when you look in the mirror, you see reflected everything in a room.
Yes.
Perfectly.
Yes.
But you don't have to be part of what you see in the mirror.
Oh, I see.
Mm. We see the world like a mirror.
Yes.
And all the people, everything is clear to us. But we are apart from it. We are the other side of the mirror, seeing it all, and yet not being contaminated or affected by it. For instance, when I come here to talk to you or to manifest, as I hope to do in other ways soon, my coming back is in no way affecting me as a person or my work or my interests. It is something which is important, but it is in no way bad or can no way affect me. The infinitesimal time that I spend on earth with you here,
yes,
is so small in time itself that it is of no consequence, except in that I like to come, I like to be of service and to try to help, and it is good because you can help through my coming and others too, to help and influence your world. It's,
yes,
difficult to explain exactly, but if you can realize that we can be part of your world without being in it and without being affected by it, you have some vague idea. But we can affect your world, whereas your world cannot really affect ours. The only effect that your world can have is on the lower spheres, which are near the earth, and in consequence are almost part of it. In fact, they merge together, you might say.
Yes. I see.
I was a little disappointed you could not come and speak to me the weekend, but I understand why.
Well, the weekend?
Really?
Well, I think Mamas has to have a Saturday off, you know, Frederick. He works...
By the way, my music did not fit that film.
My your music?
Oh, they used to be my music for some part of this film show. And I thought to myself, the man has no idea.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
I should use a recording.
poor Chopin.
Oh, I don't mind, but I was amused.
But Frederick, he saw Valentina.
I know, I was here too last night. I thought perhaps you might have been here, but you were upstairs.
Yes.
I come occasionally into this flat.
Yes.
Sometimes I come here and see if you are here. If you're not here, I go upstairs.
You're quite strong. I expect you're very strong.
No, I like to make you smile. I like to see your face light up and see your eyes sparkle, and I like to see you happy. Because I know that in your world, happiness is a very rare thing. My own experiences, which have been so many in the past years of my life, I realize that happiness is something that is so fleeting, but to hold on to it as long as you can is very precious.
You don't get fits of depression or anything like that,
no,
like you used to?
No, all that has passed.
Finished.
But remember,
yes,
that any artist, and even, shall we say, a poor artist, could not be an artist without the effect of the unhappiness of your world. You know, it's an extraordinary thing. We on this side are always praying, we are always hoping for the happiness of mankind. And it is true that we are all working for it. But in spite of it, sometimes I wonder if out of the perfect happiness that we hope will exist in your world, there will come the great works. Of course, I suppose I am approaching it from a strange angle, but I only think of myself, and I think of many other people I know and their greatest works were composed often in their unhappiest and saddest moments.
Yes.
Then again, there is a sweetness sometimes about sadness, which is even as important as infinite joy. But over here, I suppose it is that we can sense, or we can be conscious of all the many conflicting moods and conditions of mankind, that we can react accordingly and compose or do whatever we have to do in an artistic sense and put it into our work, but yet not be affected by it, that is, not have to bear it. I think it is that one must look upon the earth as a life of experience, no matter what it may hold or bring, or no matter what it may have for us, it is nevertheless important. I know that you are constantly saying to yourself, ah, this is a wasted existence, and I know exactly how you feel, how you think, and how in your sad moments and sorrowful moments you feel that you have been so cheated and your life has been wasted, but I don't see it like that. I know from an artistic point of view, from a musical point of view, that is so, but I don't see your life as you see it. I know it is difficult for you. You are still existing in the world, you are still living your life, it is still playing out its part in the world, but the point is that I realize that it has been necessary to an extent to which you have no knowledge. Because when you come here, you come here fully experienced and be able to see clearly much of the reason which made your life as it is. You had to gain experience, you had to be completely finished with the world. You see, it is essential for a person to come here and know that the earthly existence is finished for good. There is no need, there is no purpose in going back to it, to go through many things again and again. It is true that some people return many times, as indeed you have, and I have, other souls have, but there comes a point when you, it is like as if you have an orange and you squeeze and squeeze and squeeze till everything is out of it, all the juice and everything, and there's nothing left but the rind. It is useless, it has no more life in it, it has been finished. And that is how many people, they are constantly like oranges that have been squeezed and squeezed until it hurts, and yet out of it comes all the goodness, and that goodness is caught up, as it were, and over here you realize that it was essential to be, in a sense, like the orange, to be squeezed and pummeled until there's nothing left, only the rind, and that is the body which is finished and dies. But the spirit, the essence, the vitality, the life, the important part of man, the soul, rises to become a perfected, angelic soul. It's that difficult, but I want you to know that in spite of everything, in spite of all the disillusionments and the unhappiness, in spite of all the moments that have been important to you, and the joys that have held you for a short space of time, out of all the condition of life as you know it, you arise and you emerge triumphant. And that is the important thing, because you come here then with a full knowledge that you have been tested and you have been found not wanting, that you have left behind forever all the grossness and materialness of the earth, and the spirit has become perfected to a degree that it can go forward and learn and absorb all the beauties of an eternal life within all that it holds, and in your case especially, as in mine and many others, music plays a vital and important part. It is so tremendous in itself, music here, that when I come to your earth and I try to find words to describe it, I cannot. When I listen to your music, I appreciate it, for I know what goes behind it, and I sense and I feel perhaps more than the average person can in your world when he listens to it, because I am in touch with the composer and his conception of life and things, vital and important. But even so, to me, it sounds, well, not empty, I cannot say that, but it is unfinished. It is something that is not truly formed. It is not full. It is not empty, but it lacks something. Because here in the spiritual words, there is such music of such tremendous beauty and power that whatever we may listen to in your word, beautiful though it must be to your ears and to some extent ours, it is still only, shall we say, well,
well, of course, the vibrations are so completely different on your side and what's
in your own. The compass in your word is so small.
Yes.
That which the human ear can hear is a very limited, indeed, aspect of music. There is so much that is beyond your range. Here there is tremendous possibility of such tremendous scope that any musician, when he first arrived here, it almost bewilders him. I know how it affected me when I first came here. It was so magnificent, it was so more comprehensive, inasmuch that it had tremendous possibilities. I realized then that for the first time I could really become a musician. On earth I used to get discontented, I used to feel, what can I do with this? I can't do much, I can't do more than so on, so on. I used to think, the little compass that I've got here, it's impossible. And I used to do the most ridiculous things, tricks, people, some people call them tricks. They said, that trick pianist. He does things we can't play them with the thing, you know, and they get annoyed and they say, he write this, but I don't suppose you could even play it if you were asked to play it. But I used to have to show some people that I could play it to prove it was playable, you know. Over here there's such tremendous vast scope on such a scale that your imagination reels at the very thought of it.
Yes, sir, because the scope keeps on widening and widening, doesn't it? There is a certain limit.
Well, if there's a limit, I still haven't found it, thank God.
You haven't?
No.
But as you keep on progressing, there is a certain limit till you keep on and there's a wider scope.
I suppose eventually there comes a limit, I don't know. But when you think of the enormous possibilities, for instance, the piano, the tremendous register on the piano, the scale is so tremendous that you can compose and compose and compose and still not include, well, everything.
But how many notes has a scale with you? I suppose countless. What do you call a scale there?
I don't know. I just use that as an earthly term to give you an expression. I don't know. You asked what a scale is. Everything is a scale, isn't in a sense here. I only try to put it in a way you can understand.
Yes,
that
yes.
You have the limitations of the piano. I didn't find it perhaps all that limited, but I did find it at times limited. I used to feel, there ought to be more notes on that side, more notes on this, and some above and some below. You know, I used to get furious. But here, there seems to be no limit. And you see, there again, you don't understand. You imagine that one has a stretch of so far no further. That is a limitation of the flesh. Over here it doesn't exist. There's no limitation to
that. Well, you must have felt quite at home when you got there as regards your stretches, anyway, because you started from here, all right.
I know, but there's got to be some very funny things happen when you come here. I can just see you stretching this way and that way. You'd be like a plasticine waxwork dummy. You say, I can't do that. I say, you can't. Just think you can do it. Just imagine it is possible. You're not limited now by the physical body, which was so limited. Now you can do this. You can stretch this and that. And you say, look at me. How can I? I'm small and fat. But I say, well, you're not small and fat no more. That was when you was on earth. Now you are slim and tall and graceful and beautiful, and your fingers, you have a bigger stretch. You can do it. And I have to hypnotize you almost to do things. I don't know. You see, when people first come here, they can only imagine and visualize themselves and their abilities by the earthly standards.
Yes.
And one of the first things we have to do is to teach people there are no earthly standards. In fact, in a sense, there are no standards at all. Only the standards that you set yourself. And if you set yourself a very high standard, like, for instance, when I begin over here, I set myself an unlimited standard, tremendous standard. And gradually I accomplish and reach that standard. Then I want more. And I expand and get more. It is all a matter of mind. And I don't mean a physical mind, but a dearer mind. It is the realization within your soul that you can do certain things, that it is possible to do this or do that. And you begin to change in consequence. A man is as he thinks. If he thinks great thoughts, he is a great man. If he thinks he can play great music, eventually he can make himself. Even on earth it is possible. I know that every artist must give his interpretation. I know there are some artists who do not play my music very well. But nevertheless, in their own right, in their own way, they are artists of a degree. It may not be your idea of degree, it may not be mine. But remember that they have achieved something because they work at it,
yes.
Because they practice at it. They may not necessarily always feel my music as I would like them to feel it, but at least technically, to some extent, they perform.